Very thankful this morning for the peace that we can find in the shelter of the arms of God. Very thankful that in a world that is so troubled and a world that is so uncertain, whether it's physically, think about politically, all the different things that are going on, there's a place of security in Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful for that this morning. Written on the board, that which is within. And I know many of you were not here last Sunday. In essence, this really is almost a continuation of the message last Sunday, which was entitled More Than a Name. We can call ourselves Christians, but it's more than a name. We can have a profession, but it's more than a name. It should be more than a name. Our world today has does not put a lot of confidence in someone just because they say they're a Christian now. Because there are so many people that have professions, but they don't have a life to back it up. Well, this morning, the message the Lord had put on my heart to share for today is that which is within. I had the privilege and the opportunity to visit St. Peter's Basilica at the Vatican in Rome. Been to St. Paul's Cathedral in London, been to many other cathedrals and churches, Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, in various countries. Been at one of the mosques, big historic mosque in Istanbul. They are magnificent buildings. Many of them were built centuries ago, and they testify to the craftsmanship of mankind. Beautiful architecture. On the outside, these buildings were awe-inspiring. And to step inside of them, you get this feeling, and that's why they built them this way, of insignificance. That these are these mammoth temples, these enormous buildings that were erected in the so-called worship of God, and they want you to feel small inside these large buildings. Outwardly, they were majestic, and you step in these buildings, and many of them, there you could behold the gold, the ornate paintings and tapestries, but I also saw the images of man carved out of stone to which people were praying. I've heard the beautiful choirs echoing out in the vast chambers of these buildings, just as in centuries gone by. I have been in more than one of these, and tears filled my eyes as I saw nuns and people coming in and kneeling down before a man and confessing their sins to a priest, leaving with the heartache still in their life. I've observed many a person from many different religions praying rote prayers with their prayer beads. Running the prayer beads through their fingers in rote memorization, praying, never finding that place of real peace that we heard about in the song. Never finding that place of real victory. And yet, in beholding some of the most beautiful temples and places of worship in our world, when I went in there, I did not find the presence of God. Going in those places, I did not find a place of refuge. With all of the wealth in the middle of the splendor, beholding the best that man could do, the best that man could create, I did not find God in the middle of that wealth. I found formality, I saw organization, and I saw religion. But I also found a spirit of oppression and bondage, seeing people walking into the mosque to pray, washing their hands and washing their feet, taking their shoes off to enter into their place of worship. And yet, I didn't find it bringing peace to their souls. The scripture says over in Acts, and if you will turn with me to Acts in the 7th chapter, we will read, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Remember Moses and Aaron, they built the tabernacle according to the plan that God gave. And so he's reminding them here in the seventh chapter of Acts of that earthly tabernacle. And then he went on to say again in verse 47, he said, Solomon also built him a house. Remember the beautiful temple that Solomon built. Magnificent, ornate, all of the carvings and the wealth of this world brought into a place of worship to God. And yet in the New Testament, this is what the Lord communicated. Verse 48, he said, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? This morning, what house will you build the Lord? You see, God does not abide any longer in those beautiful temples that are made with hands. Even those that were built in the Old Testament according to the plan. Remember, when they built according to the plan, the glory of the Lord came down and filled the temple when it was done according to the plan. And it is just as true in this life this morning that if we yearn and long to see the glory of God being poured out, we are going to also have to build according to the plan of God. But it is no longer within these four walls. No amount of money or artwork or wealth or earthly beauty is going to draw the presence of God. Do you believe that this morning? Our world is desperate to see the glory of God. Our world is desperate because people are hurting. People are yearning to find something that will satisfy. And so they're turning to the sinful pleasures, so-called, of this world. They're not pleasures very long. But they're turning to something to satisfy. They're turning the drug problem in this world it's increasing in lots of different areas. There's been a lot of news just recently in our area of the country here in Missouri. The opiate problem. People are looking for something to satiate the need of their spirit. How can we stand in judgment when they're looking for something to drown out the misery of their spirit? But I am thankful this morning that I believe we have the answer. The answer is in Jesus Christ. The answer is found in the presence of God, but it's not going to be found with what the world has to offer. There were those in the time of Jesus over in John chapter 12, you can turn and read, but there were some men that came to the disciples. And they came to Philip, they were from Bethesda, and they desired him saying, Sir, they said, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. We want to see this one that we've heard about that can work miracles in people's lives. I don't believe many people in the world are saying we want to see Jesus because they don't understand Jesus. But there is a call. I want it something more. And the answer is going to be found in Jesus. So what do we have to offer this morning? We come here this morning from, some of us come from different states, different congregations, different backgrounds. What is the answer for us this morning? What the world needs to see is Jesus Christ. The world does not need more religion. The Lord does not need, because see, religion, I've seen it just like many of you have. You've seen what religion has to offer. I'll tell you what religion has to offer. Yes, it has rules. Yes, it has regulations. Yes, it has formality. Yes, it has a code of conduct. Yes, religion brings you into, as some have expressed recently, it brings you into a club. It brings you into where people can come together. But folks, religion does not bring soul satisfaction. Religion does not bring the glory of God. We could build up the chapel this morning. We could tear it down, and if we had the money, we could erect a greater place of worship. But is that going to bring the presence of God? And there's nothing wrong with building a new chapel, folks. But is building a new chapel going to bring greater anointing from the Holy Spirit is if we brought in some ornate artwork and hung it on the walls this morning, would the Lord look down and say, now I can come down among these people? You see, the glory of God is not dependent upon that which is without. It's not dependent upon the beauty that man can create. So how are we going to show the world Jesus? Bigger and better cathedrals? Shall we bring in a band? Bring in a little bit of entertainment? Do you know that's much what religion has to offer? It's entertainment. Something that can draw on the Spirit and yet it does not minister to the hurting spirit, because only Christ can do that. And so then if I can come in and get the little bit bigger band and get a few colored lights going, that will that be the answer this morning? Because the world wants to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus. We yearn to see a greater anointing from the Holy Spirit. So what is the answer? What the entertainment of the religious world has done has caused, folks, it's from the devil. I'm just going to say it like that. If you have difficulty with it, take it to the Father. But it is from the enemy, because this is what it's done. It has caused to drown out the cry of the Spirit. It's drowning it out without ministering what the Word of God can do in men's hearts and lives. It's what the religious world has done. It is false doctrine. You go to Mardell's and go to the Bible bookstores and find the books about the health and how God wants to bless you with health and wisdom and give you the new job and bless you financially. Folks, I'm going to say it really clearly this morning. That is not from God. Because what happens is that is making an idol. It is making an idol of the things of this world, and that is not ever what Jesus promised. Jesus promised to come in and transform the life that was steeped in sin and change us from the inside out, that we could experience the glory of God. So all of the religious books that talk about if you will believe in yourself, you might as well throw the book out. It will not minister the grace of God until we come to the Lord in our brokenness of spirit, because it is that which is within that's going to bring the glory of God this morning. When we come with brokenness of spirit and say, Lord, I can't do it and I need your power and your presence in my life. I cannot manufacture the anointing and the glory of God this morning. No amount of a beauty of the temple, no amount of believing in myself is going to create or bring salvation of the soul. It is believing in Jesus Christ. It is believing in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. It's not believing in myself. Folks, that is idolatry and it's kin to paganism. And some of the biggest preachers in our country, it's what they're preaching. And it is not from God. So Lord, help us this morning to recognize where the true power and the anointing is going to come from. It's going to come when we open up our hearts and allow the presence of God to come in our brokenness and our neediness before Him. And that is when the graces of Christ can begin to come through us, that the world could see Jesus. Biblical truth. Maybe we could compromise it. Maybe that would do the job. Is compromise the answer this morning? Water it down just a little bit. You can water it down, you can get a bigger crowd. But it's not going to minister to the soul, folks. Well, maybe we could add some more rules. Let's go the other direction. Maybe we could have some of our own thinking and incorporated in with the Word of God, so we could create maybe a little different standard than what the Scripture teaches. Would that be the answer this morning? It's not. Maybe we could physically separate ourselves from the world. We could build a wall around the chapel this morning. And we could call this Saintsville. And we could isolate ourselves. Would that bring the glory of God in a greater way? Jesus said, you're in the world. But what did He say? Don't be of it. I want you to be a light to the world. I want you to go out, but I don't want you to partake of the evil. I don't want you to be influenced by the sinfulness of the flesh that's out there. I want you to go out and live letting the glory of Christ that is within you shine out, that you can show people Jesus. Not just by what's on the outside, but by the inward graces of Christ in your life. Because it's more than a name this morning. We say we're Christians, but just the name doesn't make us a Christian. The name Church of God, people ask me, what's the name of your... You know what they say? Oh, that's... No, it's like, let's turn to the scripture. I can show you where that's in the Bible over and over. But the name doesn't change what's in here. The Lord wants us to open up our hearts and say, Lord, I need you. I'm struggling, Lord. I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your help that people could see Jesus. So the Pharisees had a solution, didn't they? The Pharisees doctored up the outward temple, did they not? They followed the rules more religiously and rigidly. And do you realize that much of what is recorded in the four Gospels was addressed to the Pharisees? And let me just say this, and this is no disparagement to any of us. Most of us here this morning, because of our backgrounds, would be Pharisees in the time of Christ. And that actually would be a positive thing to this extent. The Pharisees had a desire to keep the law. They did not want to violate, to a degree, what the law said. I trust that we would be so devoted this morning to the law of Christ. That we would be so devoted. But what happened with the Pharisees is a danger of what can happen to us as a holiness people this morning. All right? Because we are blessed to have been raised, many of us raised and taught and know the principles of New Testament holiness. That is vital and that is important. But I want us to understand this morning that you can take a drunkard from off the street and you can cut his hair and you can put a new set of clothes on him, give him new clothes to wear, but he's still a drunkard. You can take a liar and you can wash him up and you can dress him up and you can call him a trustee and he is still a liar. So it does, the point being there that we can doctor up the outside. We can change the outward man just like the carnal man, but it does not change the inward man except it come through Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees begin with all of their knowledge. They begin to rely on the outward standards as a protection for them rather than recognizing the dependency of their spirit upon the Lord to feed their soul. They put their trust in how many hours they prayed. They put their trust in how long they fasted. They put their trust in how much money they gave. Should have they not done those things? Jesus said, these things you ought to have done. Pray, fast, help. Those things are important and good, but, oh, you've let some of the most important things go. Mercy and love and justice, fairness, kindness, gentleness, forgiveness, long-suffering. Do you think that as a people we can ever be in danger of the enemy trying to cause us as holiness people to be drawn towards that way? You see, it's more than a profession. It's more than a name. The glory of God is dependent upon what is going on inside this earthly temple. Jesus told the Pharisees, And there's lots of scriptures, and I believe you all know the scripture. Jesus told them in Matthew 23, he said, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do ye not after their works, for they say and do not. In other words, they had an outward testimony. They had an outward profession. They had outward holiness. And yet, within, they did not have the presence of God. You know, it's a sad thing to see that outward profession and outward testimony without the inward graces of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in verse 5 of Matthew 23, said, but all their works they do to be seen of men. In other words, their purpose isn't right. You know, this morning, the purpose for everything that we do inwardly and outwardly, everything that we do, it should be done for the purpose of glorifying God. Not for the purpose of exalting man, not for the purpose of being different for different sake, but Lord, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, where I go, what I listen to, what I look at, the clothes I wear, everything, Lord, I want it to be because I want You to be glorified. God is glorified in humility and in simplicity. He is glorified when there are those that have a spirit of love and gentleness and kindness. Folks, that is what will win the world to Jesus Christ. It's not the temple, it's not the cathedral, and it's not the mosque. It's not the name on the door, it is not the profession that we have, even to say, I'm a saint of God. It is going to be in the fruit that is lived out in our lives on a daily basis. And folks, it starts at home. Jesus said down further in verse 11, He said, but he that is greatest among you shall be what? Remember? He said, he'll be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, that began to get to the real essence of what Jesus Christ came to do and what He was looking for. It wasn't the outward temple, folks. He was looking for people that within would have an humble life. Have you ever seen someone dressed outwardly with humility and had a little interaction with them and pride and carnality and arrogance came out? Where does that leave us? What does that do to a profession to say we're children of God and we dress modestly? And saints, well, we should. But modesty does not save us because the carnal man can dress modestly. Amen? The carnal man can come to church service. The carnal man can get on his knees and pray. The carnal man can fast. But it takes to find that presence of God. It takes that humbling inside to say, Lord, I want Your Spirit in my life. And when we're faced with difficulty and we're struggling, Lord, help me to humble my heart. When people ride over my head and speak evil against me, Lord, yes, I may look right on the outside, but Lord, inside I'm really struggling. Dear Lord, would You help me to forgive? Would You help me to love my enemies? Would You help me, Lord, not to retaliate? Folks, that is where the value and the glory is going to be found. It's found with that which is within. When the inward man is holy and purified before God, that's where God's grace is going to work in our life. You see, when the heart is right, folks, the fruit that comes out of it's going to be right. In other words, it's doing the right thing for the right reason. It's not just, and young people, I know many of you have heard me say it over and over, but we could make a list of rules this morning, all right? And I will say that is part of the job of your parents, children, young people, is to establish rules and guidelines in your home. And I want to encourage you to submit to those guidelines. This is their home. That's their refuge. You may say, well, I don't think I need to do that. As long as you're in your parents' home, you need to submit to how they want their home to operate, as unto the Lord. But as a people this morning, we could make a list of rules and say, do this, don't go here, wear this, don't wear that, don't go here, listen to this, and don't listen to that. Is that what's going to bring the glory of God? Those things might be good and they might be right. But the true peace of God only comes when it is from our hearts that say, Lord, I don't want to do it just because I have to, or because I want to fit into this group of people, or because I want this person's approval, or because I don't want the pastor to look down on me, or because, no, Lord, I want to live the way that I do because I want to please you. I want to do what you want, Lord, because I want to have that relationship with you. So when people say, why do you do that? Well, my church teaches against it. Who cares? You all know what I mean? If someone else tells you, you ask them, why do you do that? I say, well, my church teaches that. It's like, do you care what their church teaches? But when you get an experience with God, and we live like we do, not because of a name, but because my desire is to please God, I have a reason to give to people. Thus saith the word of the Lord, and I do it because I want to please my Lord. And it comes from a heart that's not just following an outward observance, but it stems from the graces of Christ in my life. That makes the difference. I'm not in bondage this morning. If you are in bondage to a holy life, you don't have holiness in your life. Because true holiness is liberating. True holiness is about something that's inside, that the anointing of God is in my life because I've been broken before Him. That's true holiness. That's where the power of God comes from. And that's when you don't have to hang your head to go out in the world and look different and act different and talk different. We need not be ashamed when it's flowing from a heart of holiness and purity to God. But if it's not in your heart, you're going to be ashamed and you're going to be embarrassed and you're going to want to duck your head and you're going to want to walk a little bit away from the group that you're with so people won't think you're with them, just like Peter did with Jesus. But when it's in your heart, you need not be ashamed, because that it which is within is the root of true holiness. It's the presence of God in our individual temple. And we can dress it up, good or bad, but it doesn't change the condition of heart until we open up ourselves to the Lord. Jesus told the Pharisees, and for the sake of time, I'll just reference it in Matthew 23 as well. Down later in the verse, He told the Pharisees, He said, outwardly, He said, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. It looks, He said, you're hypocrites, but He said, you're like the whited sepulchers. He said, they're beautiful on the outside, but He said, inside, what are they full of? Dead men's bones. Do you know that we can teach holiness and be full of dead men's bones? We can teach a good outward standard and be full of dead men's bones. I don't want to live my life full of dead men's bones. I want to find the place of the glory of God. And it comes from my neediness, from my unworthiness, saying, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need you to come in and fill me and help me. And that's where the power is. I know that the outward man can be a protection and a security. Because I have this outward thing right, it's almost like it's a defense from what might be dead inside. I would much rather have the outward right and protect that which is right inside. Protect that which is good and clean and wholesome in the inside, and it comes out on the outside, and that's a protection from me from the world. There is a story, and I know some of you have heard me relate this, but I was in Kenya, and I was going to buy some potatoes for the orphanage, and there were women lined the road with buckets, 5-gallon buckets of potatoes. And so I stopped, and I needed a lot of potatoes. I didn't just need a few buckets. And so I stopped and told them I need some, I outside, they were solid buckets, like a Home Depot bucket that's orange. You can't see inside, but it was full of potatoes. On the outside, they were stacked up about this high, and they were good-looking potatoes. They were big, and they looked nice, and I thought, okay, this is good. So I came up, and I said, now, are these potatoes, are they the same all through this bucket? And all the women, yes. So I said, okay, well, I need a lot of potatoes. So they brought me a big burlap bag, and I opened that thing up, and those women started dumping their potatoes. And I looked in there, I said, wait, stop! Little potatoes. Just small little potatoes. And I said, you told me that they were all like this, because see, I just saw the outside. You told me that these were all good. And I said, and I preached a little message to them. I said, you're just like many Christians. You profess. I said, you're professing and saying this is what it is. On the outside, you look good. But I said, inside, you weren't telling the truth. You were being deceptive. It wasn't honest. And one of the women said, Father, forgive us. But do you know what? That is the reality of too many people's experience this morning. On the outside, it looks really good. But inside, the peace of God isn't there. On the inside, the humility's not there. See, the fruit of the Spirit, isn't the fruit of the Spirit deal with that which is within? You want to see true beauty? And I want to say outward holiness is beautiful, folks. You sisters, especially, and you young women, outward holiness is beautiful, but I want to tell you something that's even more beautiful. It's inward beauty. It's inward holiness. A sweet spirit. A forgiving heart. Someone that's not selfish, but gentle and kind and loving. You want people to see Jesus? You want to experience the glory of God this morning. It's not going to come from the name in and of itself. It's going to come from that which is in. This is the very reason over in 1 Peter 3 where Peter was giving some instruction. And this is often read when it comes to the outward man because it deals with modesty. But see, remember that those temples, that's not what brought the glory of God. Peter said this. He told wives to be in subjection to their husbands, that if any obey not the word, if your husband does not obey the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of your life, of the wives. You know what conversation that was talking about? That was talking about our attitudes. It was talking about our words. It was talking about our conduct. And he said, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, who's adorning, do we still believe this? Who's adorning, let it not be. Now he's telling us what it shouldn't be, okay? This was the negative side. Too many times the emphasis stops with the negative. Let it not be. That outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, the weaving in of material in the hair, and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, which its counterpart is costly array. Of course we put on clothes. Putting on of apparel is costly array. But then he goes on and he says, but. He said, okay, don't let it be this, but I want to tell you what you need. Let's take note. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. See, the outward man perisheth, doesn't it? But the inward man is renewed day by day through Christ. He said that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So I would this morning that we recognize that where the value. Again, it's not saying outward things don't matter, because they do. It's in the Word of God. But the root and the cause and the purpose and the motivation of true holiness has to do with that which is within. And so this starts in our homes. If there are places that we don't go because of our professed walk with God, and there are things that we do not do, and there are certain ways that we dress, those things are good and important. But parents, what does it communicate to our children if they see carnality and unforgiveness and impatience? What does that communicate to our children? But children, you better do this and this and this. But are we showing them the true graces of Christ that come from within? It starts in the home. It comes, children, young people, this should be at school. That which is within, the Lord wants you to let your light shine by your spirit and by your, yes, the outward, but that's not going to change the heart. Patience and joy and gentleness and kindness and meekness. What about a congregation? Well, we've got the standard right. Well, thank God for that. But what's inside? So I'd like to ask us this morning, what's inside? What's within? You see, we can see what's without. But are we more judgmental or are we more merciful? Are we more unforgiving or are we forgiving? Are we impatient or are we patient? When we begin to examine our lives in light of the Word of God, and we begin to recognize these needs, I don't want to cover it up with outward things. But I want to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a need inside. I remember a wife telling us one time, she said, her husband, they were having issues. And she told us, I may be sitting down on the outside, but she said, the little man's standing up on the inside. What's the answer? I'm glad she was staying seated. Probably the best place for her. But do you know what? There was a spiritual need. And it was within. Folks, the answer to our victories, if you're struggling this morning and you think if you can just bite your lip a little bit harder to keep from saying things you shouldn't, that's not grace. I mean, I'm glad you're biting your lip if that's all you have, but that's not grace. Grace is something from inside that the Spirit of God gives. When I say, Lord, I'm being tempted to speak and I need to be quiet. So Lord, would you empower me? Would you help me to humble my heart and get quiet? Then I don't have to bite my lip. Because it's the presence of God working inside my life, enabling me to do what holiness dictates we do. Folks, the outward things and standards and doctrines, those things are important. But I want us to remember, just like the earthly temples and tabernacles, that does not bring the peace nor the glory of God. It comes from that which is within. God bless each one.